They are one of the largest recipients of NIH funding. Their scientists played a substantial role in developing more than half the cancer drugs approved by the FDA in the last 5 years. Dana-Farber Cancer Institute has been making one advanced cancer discovery after another for over 75 years. At Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, what we do here changes lives everywhere. Find out more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
Seeing clearer now.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. We're getting more vivid signals that the economy is in real recession mode. This morning, the government said filing for unemployment benefits is at a 7-year high. Yesterday, we had a report about trouble in the manufacturing sector. The stock markets are reflecting those concerns. The first 20 minutes, the Dow is down 143 points, about a percent, 10,687. The NASDAQ is down 25. The S&P 500 has fallen 18. European shares are a fraction higher so far. In Asia, the markets closed with mixed results. The Senate has passed a rescue package worth more than $800 billion. The House is supposed to vote tomorrow. We continue our coverage of the financial crisis with Congressman Bill Pascrell. He's a Democrat from New Jersey. Congressman, you were saying you wish there was more regulation of the financial industry in this bill. Are you going to push for changes to the Senate version?
I don't believe there will be any changes because then it would have to go back to the Senate again. I'm wishing. I would like some changes. I'm going to be fighting for some changes in caucus. This is a difficult vote for me to make. I'm up to the task. I'm reading as much as I possibly can. Will America be more at risk if I vote no? Will America be less at risk if I vote yes? That's the thing I'm going to struggle with up to the time that I vote.
Are Democrats going to wait until they have the votes to get this passed?
I don't think it'll come up unless they have the votes this time. Mr. Boehner, the leader on the other side, who I have a great deal of respect for, wants us to believe that no taxpayer money is at risk here. The way the legislation is written, that is not true. The money that we're going to be spending, we think we're going to be getting back because they're going to sell these assets. Who's going to determine the price? Which leads me to my second major problem. Who is going to administer this program? I've heard that this will be privatized beyond the Treasury Department. And what are we going to do, put our friends in charge here? Folks are going to have to decide tomorrow whether these are improvements or whether this is simply a little more icing on the cake.
Right now, what are the odds of getting this through the House tomorrow?
Oh, I think that it will pass.
Congressman Bill Pascrell, Democrat from New Jersey, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
As part of our special coverage of the financial crisis, we're hitting the road. We've dispatched two marketplace reporters on a trip across America. We begin in Charlotte, North Carolina, where Amy Scott is standing by. Amy, I used to live in Charlotte, so I know it's all about the financial industry. Bank of America, Wachovia headquartered there. What's your sense of the city right now?
Well, when Citigroup stepped up to buy Wachovia's banking business earlier this week, it really hit Charlotte hard. Mm-hmm. The bank employs about 20,000 people here. And though no layoffs have been announced, thousands are expected. And just to get a sense of how that could affect really the whole economy here, I visited a hair salon right across the street from one of Wachovia's many towers here in Charlotte.
Probably 50% of my clients are Wachovia people. I was up all night last night thinking about it because it's really been kind of sad around here.
That's Yvonne Curtis, a hairstylist at Jean's Master Cuts. Her boss, Jean Buchan, told me he's been cutting hair in this neighborhood so long he feels like he works for Wachovia. So he was taking this pretty hard.
And Amy, what about the gas shortage we've been hearing about in that area?
Right. Well, Charlotte and much of the Southeast are in the midst of a gasoline shortage that's been going on close to 3 weeks now after hurricanes Ike and Gustav took out several refineries. I met people who are really suffering from this, some guys who had to take a day off without pay because there wasn't enough gas to drive their van. I'm told the situation is improving, but people are still having to drive around looking for gas, wait in long lines. So people here are worried about a lot more than Wall Street right now.
Well, I hope you make it to your next stop.
So do I. Thanks.
All right, Amy Scott in Charlotte. Thanks.
Thanks a lot.
Amy's next stop, Charleston, West Virginia. You'll find out more about our Road to Ruin trip at marketplace.org. This is the Morning Report for Thursday, October 2nd on Marketplace.org. Congress is struggling over this rescue package, but Europe might be having even more trouble organizing a bailout package of its own. From London, Stephen Beard reports.
France proposed the idea, a single pan-European $400 billion fund to bail out any failing European bank. But Germany rejected the plan. The Brits vetoed it too, preferring a piecemeal approach. And yet the banks here are clearly in danger. So far this week, four big ones have been propped up by individual governments. The head of the European Commission has appealed for a European response to the crisis. EU leaders hold an emergency summit on Saturday, but agreement looks to be in short supply. The European Union is under strain. Bond traders are even pricing in the risk of the eurozone falling apart. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
I mentioned earlier that more people are filing for unemployment benefits. That's because in September, companies announced 33% more layoffs than a year ago, 95,000 jobs. Marketplace's Dan Gretsch has more.
Believe it or not, Wall Street didn't lead the country in layoffs last month. In fact, the financial industry was fourth, behind computers, automobiles, and apparel. John Challenger heads Challenger Gray & Christmas, which released the survey. He says to give it a few weeks.
With all of the bad news on Wall Street, it's likely the fourth quarter is going to take a nosedive.
Challenger says the credit crisis will hurt small businesses, too. Those businesses often have to wait months to get paid for their goods, so they rely on short-term loans to cover bills and payroll.
If they can't get those loans, they're going to be forced to slow down their development, and that'll lead to layoffs.
Tomorrow, the Labor Department releases its comprehensive employment report. It's expected to show the economy as a whole shed jobs for a ninth consecutive month in September. I'm Dan Gretsch for Marketplace.
Last month, the Securities and Exchange Commission banned the short selling of stocks for hundreds of financial companies. Short sellers have been blamed for much of the trouble in the markets, the downfall of Lehman Brothers, for example. The ban was supposed to expire tonight, but the SEC has extended it. It will stay in place until at least after Congress enacts this rescue package. Stacey Vanek Smith reports.
The SEC banned short selling to protect vulnerable companies at a critical time, says Georgetown finance professor James Angel.
In this very fragile environment, it may not take a lot to push an otherwise viable institution over the edge. And that's why the SEC acted.
But Angel says the ban is mostly symbolic, a move intended to shore up confidence in jittery markets. Mark Kaufelt, portfolio manager for Empiric Funds, says short sellers aren't the problem.
The reason the banks failed is they had inadequate capital.
Kaufelt says short selling can drive down prices, but it can also serve as a warning system that companies are in trouble and keep share prices honest. He says investors who buy stocks protected by the ban
are probably not getting the true prices for the stocks. They're probably overpaying.
The ban's extension means short sellers will have to sit out another round. I'm Stacey Vanek Smith for Marketplace.
No matter what Congress does, there are tough economic times ahead. It's going to mean some changes for families in this country. Our economics correspondent Chris Farrell calls it the new frugality. He joins us now. Chris, what do you mean by that?
I think this is a major transformative moment for families. We're going to go into recession, and we're going to do all the things you do with a recession where you cut back on your spending and you be more cautious. But when we come out of the recession, that's not going to change. And the reason it's not going to change is lenders are going to be very conservative. The other reason, you're not going to get big wage gains. Anybody out there who's optimistic and believes that employers are going to turn to you and say, you know, you've been working really hard. I think you need a 10% wage increase. I don't think that's going to happen.
But Chris, don't you think it's a good thing if we move away from our credit-driven economy and get back to the old days of spending what you have?
Sounds really nice, doesn't it? Yes. What I worry about is the transition. Yes, you want to deleverage, and we took on too much debt. But I hope that it happens over a period of many years as opposed to fairly quickly. And I also don't want to paint too gloomy a picture. People are going to continue to borrow, but they're going to borrow more conservatively. You're not going to put 1% down for a piece of real estate. You're going to be putting 15 to 20% down. But, you know, the transition is going to be difficult because we've been used to just being able to borrow. And, you know, you still get the financial services industry saying things like, well, you know, you can't make that change because it might raise the interest rates when you go to borrow. Hello, people. You're not lending to them anyway. Right. What are they worried about? A higher interest rate? Come on.
Fun as always, Chris.
Thanks a lot.
I've started a blog about this financial mess. You can find it on our website, marketplace.org. Just click on the Marketplace off-air link. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening and enjoy your day.
American Public Media.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.